chapter 7, verse 29 of the Bhagavad Gita with your moderator, Dr. Anil Mehta.
Let's do the verse number 29. Jara marana mokshaya mama shritya yatantiye te brahma tat vidu kritsnam adhyatmam karma chakhilam. So ye, in the first line, the last word is ye. So those people, they who are, what is their goal? Jara marana mokshaya. Jara means old age, maran means death. Mokshaya, they want to be liberated from old age and death. Okay, so to be liberated from old age and death, what do? Mam ashritya. The Lord says they approach me. Ashraya means they come to my refuge. They come to me and yatanti, and they put effort. See, again and again, he is not telling us that you give up everything and just sit, you know, like a useless piece of stone. Put the effort. Yatanti, they put effort to be freed from this bondage of old age and death and approach me, my refuge. And then what happens to them? Te brahma tat vidu. Kritsnam, kritsnam brahma. This all pervading. Brahman is the consciousness. Kritsnam means the whole. All pervading reality they come to know. Vidu means they know. Know not just as right now I think of Brahman as a concept. Okay, I think of Brahman as the all pervading consciousness. But I don't know it. I have not experienced it. But they have actually experienced that oneness with that Brahman, adhyatmam, and their own self, their own nature. Right now I know myself only as what is happening to my body, what is happening to my mind, what is happening to my intellect, about my desires, but I do not know my true nature. So they said they know their true nature. And then another very beautiful point he says, karma cha akhilam, and they also know the activities in the world. So they are not just useless pieces of clod just sitting there, but they know how to act in the world. This is a very, very beautiful, very nice shloka, and we'll spend some time talking about it. It says, jara marana mokshaya. So to be freed from old age and death. So we say, what do you mean? So that means these persons never die, even medical science, you know. They are engaged in that. And all the doctors, they want to make us so we never get old. And then we have plastic surgery. And then we have all these things. So I may not look old and I may not get old. And they give you all these products for longevity on the internet. You can buy all these products that will keep you young forever. And then, you know, people don't want to die. So they go to all kind of, you know, even though they have end stage disease, you know, they will go to one hospital then another. And then they will go to homeopathy, and then they will go to India to some herbal medicine. And is that what he's talking about? You know, and then people, we keep them alive for years on respirators and keep them alive with feeding tubes. And so is that what Sri Krishna is telling, that that is the goal of the individual? In fact, that is a miserable existence. Because think about it. Okay, I become immortal. I never die. Alright, so I didn't die. So I live for 200 years, 300 years. My children have died. My spouse and my brother sisters died. My children died. My grandchildren died. And I'm still alive. So with my great-grandchildren. And they say, oh, great-grandfather, he never dies. So he's lying in one corner. And 200, 300 years old. That's a horrible existence. You know, he never dies. He's always there. Because and the great-grandchildren and the great... That is a horrible way to live. So when we say freedom from old age and death, we are not saying that you never die, but you realize that you are actually immortal. I am in reality immortal, and we all are immortal. This body is just a part I am playing. I am not this body, but the body is the part I am playing. And while I am playing that part, I perform my duties to the best of my ability. And like he said, we each have our individuality, recognizing that individuality. But in fact, I am that consciousness. And like, you know, like the example of an actor. Now an actor is playing the part of an alcoholic in the movie and he's drunk like Devdas, you know, and he's drinking every day and comes home drunk. Now he's playing that part, and when he comes home, if he becomes the part and say, I'm an alcoholic, and starts drinking 8, 10, 12 drinks a day, then he's going to ruin his health. But he knows that I'm playing the part of an alcoholic, and while I am on the movie screen, I'll, you know, act, even he's drinking colored water, but acts like he's drunk. But in reality, he knows I'm not an alcoholic, I am so-and-so actor, whether it's Dilip Kumar or Charlton Heston or whatever. So when he goes home, if he starts acting that same part and makes it himself, then that person is a fool. Then his wife will say, what happened to you, you know? How come you are playing a drunkard on the screen and now you're becoming a drunkard in your life? Or somebody, you know, is playing the part of a king and then he comes home and tells his wife, I am the king, go bring my shoes. Guess what? She'll put in the shoes on his head, you know? So, but you know, we laugh at that, but that is how we are. We actually are that consciousness. We are playing this part of this body, mind and intellect, whether it's Anil or Sujata or whatever role we are playing. But we get so caught up that we start thinking I am that role. I start thinking I am Anil and I am this body and I am this mind, I am this intellect. So they say constantly remind yourself that you are this consciousness and this body, mind and intellect. And as long as you have this body, like he said beautifully, the ego will be there. But in and through all these activities, I constantly remind myself that I am that consciousness. And this body one day will get old and will die. So it's not that a realized master lives forever, you know. No, he also dies. But having realized his immortal self, he becomes immortal. That's why Buddha, even 2,500 years from now, when we remember Buddha, we become humble and we prostrate to him mentally. Jesus Christ, or Shankaracharya, or Guru Nanak, or all these great saints, Mirabai, even today, hundreds and thousands of years after they have gone, they have become immortal. Why? Because they realize their immortal self. So that is what he says, that it's not that you never die, but you realize that my body dies. In the second chapter, Sri Krishna says very beautifully, Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaye navani krinati naroparani tatha shariraya vihaye jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. This individual realized that just as I drop my old clothes, you know, I have some old clothes and they are no longer fit me, they are very dirty, I throw them. Go to, you know, Macy's and buy a new shirt and put on my new clothes. So similarly, for a wise person, this body is like clothes. I'm wearing it at this moment. At the time of death, I will drop it. And if required, I will take on a new body. So for such an individual, death is not something very horrible. See, for us, death, oh, it's so terrible. Because we think it is final and we become so miserable. But again, we're not saying that one should not go to the doctor or get yourself well, but if death approaches and, you know, in fact, there was a very beautiful book, I had mentioned that a few years ago. It was called Death, Be Not Proud. That was the name of this book. I remember reading it as a teenager and had such a profound impact on me. I still remember every bit of that book. There was this young boy who was suffering from end-stage cancer. And they have given how this person, this young boy, lived his life so cheerfully. Was a young man, maybe a teenager. And how he spent his life thinking about others and helping others and cheerfully welcomed. He used to go through all this chemotherapy and radiation and all these horrible treatments. And he smilingly goes through it. And at the end of the book, he actually dies. And it says, death, do not be proud because you did not take him. This boy went beyond death, so you have nothing to be proud of. That's why it says, death be not proud, because you could not suppress his spirit. You could not overwhelm his spirit. So that is the meaning of going beyond death, that where you cheerfully welcome death. Okay, it's coming. And there was a movie called Anand, I think might be based on the same. Anand is the same story about this guy who is suffering from cancer, Rajesh Khanna. He laughingly, you know, jokes and tell, oh, why are you crying? You know, his friends used to cry. says, Babu Bashaya, don't cry. Death is just happens. Don't worry about it. And he was more cheerful and the people around him were. So that is the idea. Jara Marana Mokshaya. Mama Shritya Yatantiye. And they make me their ultimate goal. Make the Lord their ultimate goal. And then they see themselves Adhyatmam. They see themselves as they are, as the consciousness. In the Upanishad, it is very beautifully expressed. It says, this is a very, very powerful statement. It says, Panch Koshadi Yogena Tat Tanmaya Ivasthitaha Shudhatma Neela Vastradi Yogena Sphatiko Yatha. So he says, this consciousness, this Om, this consciousness contacts the five sheets. What are the five sheets, you know, of my body? There are, they say there are five sheets or five coverings. Just as a sword, you know, is put in a sheet, is covered. So this consciousness, as it were, appears to be covered. And what are the five sheets? One is the body, of course. That is the one covering I have. And then in between the body, there is, between the mind is called pranas. Or the breath, or the respiratory forms. That's why they say there is the gross body, and then there is the breath, or the pranas, which are more subtle. That's why in meditation we concentrate on the breath, or in yoga we concentrate on the breath, because the breath is subtler than the body and closer to the mind. So when you want to control the mind, you concentrate on your breath, like you teach in the yoga classes. Hi, come on in. So, there are the five sheets that cover the consciousness. One is the body, second is the pranas or the breath, the third sheet is the mind or the seat of emotions. The fourth is the intellect. So, the breath, the body, the breath, the sharir maya kosha, pran maya kosha, mano maya kosha, Gyan Maya Kosha, and then the Anand Maya Kosha, the bliss sheet. So the body, the pranas, the mind, the intellect, and the desires, which is called the bliss sheet. So these five koshas cover the consciousness, as if, in fact, the consciousness is immutable, it is unchanged. But not recognizing it, I think that the Lord, you know, we think of the Atma as something tiny in the middle. There is the body, then there is the breath, then the mind, then the intellect, then the pranas, then the vasanas, and then a tiny little spark somewhere is God, you know, little bit in me. No, actually He is all pervading, but apparently is covered just as the sun, you know, is so huge, is brilliant and can cover millions of miles. But the cloud, as it were, covers the sun. So that is my ignorance. So the Atma is as if covered by the sheets, but actually is never covered. Just as the crystal, when contacting the blue cloth, becomes blue. They give a beautiful example. There you have this beautiful colorless crystal, say shaped like a pyramid. Now you take that crystal and put it on a blue cloth. So what will happen? That colorless crystal will look blue. And will take on all the appearance, the brilliant blue, that beautiful blue. And the crystal will actually look blue. And you'll say, oh my God, that's a blue crystal. Somebody comes. And then the moment you remove the cloth, the crystal becomes brilliant and white and colorless. So the crystal was actually never blue, but appeared blue. Right? The crystal was never blue, but appeared blue in contact with the blue. So similarly, the consciousness is immutable, but in contact with the body, the mind and intellect, appears to take on the properties. That's why they say, you know, I'm a very angry person. Instead of saying, I'm an angry person, you say, I have anger in me. See, you're saying the same thing, but you are saying it a different way. If you say, I'm an angry person or I'm a greedy person, then you are identified. But if you say, I have anger in me, and I need to work on it, then automatically you are. So that is what they are saying, that in fact that consciousness is never covered. Like you were saying, it apparently it is an illusion. And But we are so caught up. It's just as that person who looks at the crystal and says, this is blue crystal. And anybody comes and talks to him, he'll say, no, it is blue. I can tell you it looks blue. But then a wise person will remove the blue cloth and show him, no, the crystal was always colorless. But by contact with the blue cloth, it appeared blue. See, even in those days, they had these beautiful examples. So a wise person will come and tell us, somebody like Krishna or somebody like Swami Chinmayananda, that you are that consciousness and you are contacting these five sheets. And while you are in contact with those five sheets, you will continue to act in the world. That's why he says, karma cha akhilam. And it does not mean that this wise person, you know, becomes useless. People think once you become realized, you know, then you are just wandering like a madman in the Himalayas, seeing Brahman everywhere. Then you are a worthless person and you are good for nothing. No, we find that these great teachers actually become great instruments for serving the world. Look at Buddha, look at Jesus, look at Shankaracharya, look at Swami Chinmayananda, the one who founded our mission. He spent from 1950 till 1993, 43 years after he left his body, every day of his life was spent in serving. And he wrote so many books, he traveled all over the world giving lectures, meeting people and setting up, you know, centers like these. And so these great masters, when they walk in the world, why are they able to accomplish so much more than you and me? You know, we find that compared to their achievements, our achievements are so puny. Why? Because they have two things. Adhyatmam, they have control over their mind, and having control their mind and realizing that I am that consciousness, they work with that understanding. Karma akhilam, all the activities they do with that constant understanding. That's what Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary, if you read, he says a wise person is the one who controls his mind and knows the mind of everybody. Why? Because they are all that one consciousness. And then his actions or her actions are very efficient, very pure, very focused, because he or she knows that not only what is the goal of mine, but how can I help others to reach that same goal. And that's why these great prophets and these great saints, not only, see, a person could say, I don't care. Once I have realized, how does it matter what happens to the rest of the world? I have realized, I don't need to come back. No, they say, I have realized, but all these other people who are here, I need to bring them also up. And his attitude becomes total love for all. You know, that's what you were talking about. Love means in the sense that he knows how everybody is. He loves everybody unconditionally. Talking about love remind me of this little joke. You know, Rodney Dangerfield, some of you know, he always says, I don't get no respect, I get no respect. So he talks about love. So he said, my girlfriend called me and said, come on over, nobody's home. My girlfriend called me and said, come on over, nobody's home. I went there and nobody was home. The house was locked. So not that kind of love, but true love, where you see that oneness in all. So he says, that is the, then only you have understood the entire Brahman. Again, as I said, seeing the differences among people, but he sees that Brahman Krishna, that one consciousness that illumines everybody. And so they are all, even though they are all unique, but they are all creations of that one. And that is the beauty of that Lord, that he has created this infinite. They say that nobody's fingerprints, even 10,000 years ago, if you go to the caves and people have touched the caves and fingerprints that are preserved in the rock somewhere, even nobody's fingerprint even today matches. So for thousands of years, humans have been there, and never ever a single human being's fingerprints match anybody else's fingerprint. I mean, it's such amazing. You know, there are little things like fingerprints, and how can he create so much variety? You know, that's the beauty of this. Lord's creation. And in that variety, he sees that one thread that is the substratum, that is the support, that is the life principle, and that is the idea of being a saint. That it's not that he sees everybody as, oh, you know, one. No. In another place in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, विद्या विनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणी कवि हस्तिनी शुनी च श्व पाके च पंडित समदर्शिना. A wise person, he might see a dog, he might see an elephant, he might see a cow, he might see a wise man, or he might see a person of a low caste. He sees that they are all different. He does not say the dog and the elephant are the same. No, they are different. But the divinity in them is common. It's not that a wise person comes to the house and he will, you know, touch his feet and, you know, make him sit down. A dog comes, he's not going to touch the dog's feet and make him sit on the chair. No, even the dog comes, he'll give him food and let him go. So he, seeing the differences, he recognizes that oneness. And that is the beauty of this, the wise person, that in that variety he sees that common thread. As Krishna says, I am that thread that holds the necklace of this universe together. The necklace has individual beads. It's not that all the beads are one. There may be some small beads and some big beads, some green and the blue and the yellow and the... But the necklace that holds them is common. So in that variety you see that oneness. So that is the essence of this beautiful shloka.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinam, Sarve Santu Niramayam, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Mam Kashchit Dukha. Hari